This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Let's have a family. And if you can't treat us fair, then why are you here?
Thank you for all you're doing. Okay. All right?
Thank you. To find out more about how you can get involved and be in solidarity with these workers in Mississippi as they fight for the right to organize freely at Nissan, go to www.beneaththeshine.org. That's www.beneaththeshine.org.
One of the many common elements between the two workers' struggles is that actor Danny Glover has come out in support of both groups. You can hear his statements supporting Asotre Cole if you go to www.kboo.fm/laborradio. This show and others are archived there. Thank you for listening. For myself, John Walsh, for engineer Sequoia, we appreciate your listening to us and hope to hear you again or have you hear us again next week. Thanks. Good night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
The time is 6:32. Up next, Prison Pipeline.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul.
I really just like showing people that they have a lot more to bring to each job than just their past employers, and helping people explore their skill sets in a way that allows them to see what they can bring to the next job that they apply for. It's really important that we help empower people and not necessarily just hold their hand through the process, but give them the tools to be able to do it on their own.
Are you or a loved one you know looking for a job with a criminal background? The economy is tough for an average person trying to find employment, and it's even harder if you've been involved in the justice system. Hello, and welcome to Prison Pipeline, where we present a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and tonight we explore Road to Success, an educational workshop and class that seeks to provide quality information and services that enable those with criminal backgrounds to successfully transition into the community, especially with regards to employment. First, we speak with Cindy Stottle and Tracy Schiffman, two women who were instrumental in the development and initial delivery of the program. Then we spend some time at Southeast Works, an employment-based nonprofit in the Portland area, during an actual delivery of the Road to Success class. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Cindy Stottle, one of the main developers of the Road to Success curriculum, could you introduce the program to us?
Okay, well, it was a Oregon Department of Corrections initiative. They were focusing on reentry, and they wanted a curriculum to use inside to help prepare inmates, really, as they began 6 months prior to the gate, transitioning out. And so Volunteers of America was awarded a contract to develop the curriculum, because at that time, VOA, and still today, VOA was running a program for 18 to 24-year-old youths who were releasing into the community. And Southeast Works had experience working with that group and had been doing an employment component. So VOA was awarded the contract to develop the curriculum, and I was hired to coordinate that. I turned to Tracy Schiffman to develop the curriculum and to give it some depth and breadth, and she became the lead on that team, really. And it was a team that included Tracy, myself, Carol Scholl from the Launder Learning Center, and Annette Johnston from Southeast Works. So the four of us worked together to develop the curriculum. Again, it was focused on people prior to their release, but then we had funds left over, and we were able then to develop a second community-based curriculum for people once they'd released to review some key concepts and extend that curriculum further. Actually, the prison curriculum focused on four areas. It looked at employment, housing, finance, and relationships, really, restoring relationships. In the community, the curriculum focuses primarily on employment. But we got there through an interesting method that Tracy developed. Tracy, you want to talk to that?
Sure. We really wanted the curriculum to serve participants in the most realistic way possible. So I asked Cindy to convene a group of people who would be stakeholders in the curriculum, who would care about the results. And in that group, we had parole and probation. We had staff from Department of Corrections. We had potential participants, those who would be taking it in the community. We had other folks who had relationships through organizations with folks who were reentering the community. And we convened this group, and I asked them, what do people need to be able to do to be successful at reentry, especially around finding and keeping gainful employment that we want to take responsibility for in this curriculum? So that generated a whole lot of ideas written on Post-it notes and pasted to the wall, and we categorize those into skills people need to be able to perform, such as interviewing well, concepts they needed to understand, like what is cold calling and an informational interview, and what are issues that need to be resolved that we wanted to address in the curriculum. And an issue would be the fact that you might have a felony record, and how do you move yourself through the application process responsibly and truthfully while still trying to make sure you get to the interview. From there, I developed just a one-page overview, sent that out to all of the folks to give their feedback to, and once we had consensus on that, I began designing interactive activities. So the curriculum, both in the prison and the community, is not a lecture base where you stand up and listen to an expert. It's really about engaging folks in activities that are interesting and relevant. These folks come with a lot of wisdom and experience that we access it through those activities. People set their own goals, and all of the activities and skills they learn help them to achieve their personal goals, and that's what helps keep them engaged.
So, Tracy Schiffman, one of the developers of the Road to Success Reentry and Job Seeker curriculum for individuals with criminal backgrounds, you say it isn't a lecture format that it's presented in. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It's more than just getting together to chat. There is an agenda with set activities and particular outcomes for each lesson related to building skills to help prepare people to go out and look for an interview for employment. So there might be some goal setting, there might be some discussion, there might be some personal planning related to your goal where you're applying the skills that you're learning. There are also a mock interview that's videotaped.
Cindy Stottle, did you have something to add?
I do remember. Well, one of the things that I really like about the curriculum is using the whole STAR interviewing format, which is used internationally. I remember being at a conference actually in Belgium, and people were talking about using a STAR interviewing format. And I thought, well, we use that with our Road to Success curriculum. We use it inside in the prisons and again in the community. Basically, what we're asking people to do is reflect on their situation and to answer an interview question. Think about a specific situation, a task that they did, the action they took, and the results that came about as in response to their action.
And that's STAR, STAR.
And so people get engaged in that story. And what that gives people actually is an opportunity to reflect on their own history and develop stories of success that they've had and use those in interviewing situations. So that's been a highlight. Then, as Tracy mentioned, we give people an opportunity to videotape that, to see themselves and to refilm if necessary, because they get response from their cohort, from their peers, too.
Another piece about those activities, Peter, is that they're multi-layered. So we're teaching a skill, and folks are practicing that skill, but there's also this element of peer discussion and feedback, which are also job skills. So much of work nowadays is team-based, and folks need to be able to give appropriate feedback and receive it graciously and incorporate it into their learning, into their practice. So you have the explicit skill that you're teaching, but you also have the processes around that practice in the classroom that give participants a chance to develop those employment-related, team-based, work-together skills.
I think that's really what makes the curriculum so rich. Mm-hmm. It's the feedback from other participants that is often spot on, especially to the videos. Other peers can be much more honest than I can be as a facilitator, for example, and it's exciting to see that. At the same time, people encourage one another, and it builds trust among the participants, and that's very exciting to see.
And community as well.
Community, exactly.
And going back to what you said earlier, they also can say things and be believed because they've walked in their shoes, as opposed to a facilitator who hasn't had that particular experience of trying to reenter the community.
Let me say that in our history of delivering Road to Success, frequently facilitators have been people who have a criminal history. And that's always been powerful to observe. So that much more credible is the person who can say, you know, I've been there, I've done this.
So, Cindy or Tracy, tell us about a memorable time delivering this curriculum.
I remember one time when we invited a guest speaker in who had been taped, and someone asked him about an interview situation. And he said that he talked about being on the job, and he was brushed off by a supervisor that day. He went in, said hello, and she ignored him. And he said, you know, in the past, I would have taken offense at that and gotten angry. But because of the Road to Success curriculum, I was able to reframe my thoughts, talk myself down, respond, give her some space, and come back later. And he said that was a direct result of the curriculum. And as a result, the relationship continued and he didn't get angry, which was a key trigger for him in the past. So that was a definite success.
So again, Tracy Schiffman and Cindy Stottle, where is this curriculum delivered?
Again, you're looking at two components. You're looking at the prison component, and that's delivered now inside Oregon prisons. And so, yes, it's available to inmates releasing to all 36 counties. We developed a companion community curriculum, which we use here in Multnomah County and Washington County, actually through the Portland Partners Reentry Initiative, through CPR, through some of our other programs as well, through Southeast
CPR,
Works.
What does that stand for?
Community Partners Reinvestment Initiative. And and some of the other Volunteers of America programs. So various community agencies here in the Portland area are using the curriculum.
How many individuals would you say have received this curriculum for all time?
I couldn't give you numbers because, again, I don't have the numbers from the prison. I know that our Portland Partners Reentry Initiative has worked with over 1,000 individuals, and we've used the curriculum with all of them, so at least 1,000.
So last up before the break, I know that the most difficult question to answer in a job interview after you've filled out an application is, you know, I see you've checked the box that says you've been convicted of a felony, and why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? Does the Roads to Success workshop teach how to answer that question?
Yes, actually. We certainly tell people to be truthful, and to also frame it in the context of the interview and what they know about the job, but also to keep that short and succinct, to not go into a long narrative about what happened, but to take responsibility for what happened, and then to turn that and say, and this is what I've been doing as a result. This is what I learned from that, and this is what I've been doing. And as a result, these are the strengths that I would bring to your employment situation.
Great. Again, I'm here tonight with Tracy Schiffman and Cindy Stottle, two developers of the Roads to Success curriculum, which teaches about reentering the community and specifically in the community about job seeking with a criminal background. We're about to take a break, but when we come back, we'll have some recording of an actual Road to Success class. Stay tuned. To KBOO Portland 90.7, in Hood River at 91.9 FM, Corvallis at 100.7 FM, and on the web at KBOO.FM. You're listening to Prison Pipeline, the show where we present a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This is Peter Pincel, and tonight we are exploring the Road to Success class, a program that seeks to provide quality information and services that enable those with criminal backgrounds to successfully transition into the community, especially with regards to employment. We've just heard from some of the developers of the curriculum, and now we'll hear some actual audio from the Roads to Success in Action at Southeast Works, a local employment-based nonprofit. The Roads to Success workshop is held every Tuesday and Thursday at Southeast Works. At the event we had the chance to record, Cindy Knotts was the facilitator, and she led the group in making collages of how to dress for an interview.
So we're going to do the do's and don'ts of how to dress for an interview. I'm going to hand out some poster boards, and you're going to break up into teams. And on one side, we're going to hand out a bunch of magazines again, and you're going to, on one side, how to dress for an interview, and on the other side, how not to dress. You're going to cut out clothing out of the magazines and put together a little puzzle of a person's do's and don'ts.
Around 25 people were in attendance that day, made for a rowdy classroom. But we had the opportunity to speak with Marcus, one of the participants. Now Marcus, could you tell me a little bit about your collage?
This would be what I would not wear.
Wouldn't wear that.
This is what I would wear right here.
Could you quickly describe for the audience some of the pictures that are on each of the collages?
Well, on this one, we're what we would wear, dressing conservatively, basically not looking like a slob. And on this one, obviously, this girl, of course, not wearing enough clothing. And just basically people wearing inappropriate things doing interviews.
Another participant, Ebony, and her table were enjoying the activity as well.
What not to wears.
Yeah.
Ebony, why don't you tell us in your own words what not to wear to a job interview?
Short skirts, hooker boots, and swimsuits, booty shorts, mini dresses, and orange hair.
So anything that looks a little bit too provocative, I guess you could say?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on where you're trying to get a job at. Because if you're trying to get a job at Hooters, then you might want to wear something provocative. But not all of us are going to work at Hooters.
Sean, another participant, also managed to find pictures of what not to wear.
Well, I found a young man here who fits the description of what not to wear. He has a t-shirt that has a logo on it, he's wearing a hat, and he looks angry.
It appeared that the collage activity really helped the participants figure out what not to wear to a job interview. But they seemed to have fun doing it, and it seemed to help with those team skills, as covered by Cindy and Tracy. The next activity that came up was Job Club Jeopardy, and this was led by another facilitator, Julia Martin.
Okay, so this is Job Club Jeopardy Edition 2.0. Today we are only going to be talking about interview prep. So to give you an idea of the categories, you can choose from clothing, to be or not to be, and in this case the be is for bring, what to bring or not to bring to an interview, the smell of success, body language, and wild card. Wild card just means it can be from any of these other categories. So anyone can start. Who wants to go first?
I get wild card for 1,000 students.
Okay, wild card for 1,000. True or false? You should be aware of your body language in an interview, starting the moment you sit down in the chair. True or false?
True.
Okay, listen again, because it's kind of a trick question. You should be aware of your body language in the interview, starting the moment you sit down in the interview chair.
False.
Why?
Because you need to watch that talk in the board of business.
Exactly.
Everybody in that business is watching you, whether they know you or not. They walk by, they see you. That's
right. And really, even the minute you arrive on site, so imagine if you were coming for an interview here, and you park your car, and you get out, maybe you have a cigarette, and you're on your phone. You don't realize that sometimes people can see outside of the building that you might be interviewing in. So the second you arrive on site, you have to be on. You have to be ready, like you're interviewing the whole time. And that's when people start making judgments about you, whether they're true or not, the minute they see you. Okay? Good job.
Jeopardy also gave the class participants the opportunity to correct each other and use the knowledge that they'd gained before.
Clothing for 400.
Clothing 400. True or false? If a man is interviewing at a warehouse, he doesn't need to wear a nice set of clothes.
This gentleman?
True.
True? Okay, what do you think he should wear?
Dress casual for
anyone have anything to say about that?
False.
Jeopardy even gave the chance for participants to share resources that they knew of with other participants.
If I don't have clothes for an interview, tell me a couple of places I might be able to go to get help with clothing.
Dress for Success.
Bingo. What's Dress for Success?
It's a place where if you got an interview, you can go. If you got a referral, you get 5 pieces of clothing. They have a place where you get your hair cut, do your makeup. Then once you get a job, then you can come back in there and get more clothes.
The workshop wrapped up with everyone's favorite part, job announcements, read off by Sue Eastman.
Is looking for a display stock clerk. You're going to receive and stock merchandise and do inventory, stock shelves, and inventory responsibilities. Prepare product for display, clean the store, order supplies. You're going to apply in person. These are the best kind because you get to go down there and they get to see who you are, right? And you're going to go dress for an
interview.
So job requirements are you able to climb ladders and lift up to 50 pounds? This is a very physical position. You'll be standing, walking, climbing. A team player with excellent customer service skills, multitask, work weekends, work evenings, and pass a security background check.
And you still apply?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why? Because you don't know what their policy is.
That person to person.
Insane. How many people want this?
And keep your hands up until I say your name.
At a typical job club, they read off around a dozen job leads, and these are job leads that tend to hire people with criminal backgrounds a little bit more readily. The workshop is held twice a week every week, and it's open to anyone who's been through the welcome process with WorkSource, Oregon. Visit your local unemployment office for more details. Let's go back to Tracy and Cindy for a final word before we close out the show.
Well, as we were talking, I'm thinking about the work of Carol Dweck at Stanford University, and she talks about growth versus fixed mindsets. And I think it's a really good framework for why this curriculum is effective, in addition to the fact that it's delivered by capable people who care, and participants pick up on that and respond to that. But the notion that we all have the opportunity to have a growth mindset if we choose to. And a growth mindset is simply the belief that we can learn and continue to grow and be smarter and more capable as time goes on. There's research that shows that that's true. And we just have to think that way and act that way. So anybody who is signing up for and engaging with this curriculum and the other services through Southeast Works or that the transition programs in prison have to offer can make the very real changes from a place of a growth mindset, and they can have success in their life. And I just would encourage them to get involved.
I really like what you said. That's exciting, because one of the things I came away with from working with people in the prisons as well as in the community are the tremendous number of skills that people have that employers need. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important for people to know that your skills are valued and needed here in the community.
This is Peter Pincel saying thank you again for tuning in this evening as we explored the Road to Success curriculum and workshop, a real way for people with criminal backgrounds to improve their chances at getting a job. Information about this and past shows can be found on our website at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Take just a moment to like us on Facebook. And tune in next week to hear my co-host, Karen James, discussing the Oregon Public Safety Commission's recommendations on prison reform. Thank you very much, and good night.
When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. A soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes
you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Dalles, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany, and heard around the web at kboo.fm. The time right now is 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio, coming up next.
KABU is a proud media sponsor of the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, presented by the Portland Area Theater Alliance from January 24th through February 3rd. Fertile Ground features 88 events with over 50 artists and companies, including Artist Repertory Theater, Portland Playhouse, and Polaris Dance, and dozens more. For a 10-day festival pass or ticket info, visit fertilegroundpdx.org or go to kabu.fm.
KABU Radio is proud to help Zippity News and a clothes drive to help clothe the homeless. We will be collecting gloves, hats, and scarves until February 15th, when the clothes will be distributed throughout the homeless community. KABU is located on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Thank you, and we hope to see you donating clothes to help keep the homeless warm this winter.
One, two, three, four.
Ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this country. In this country. I tell you today, rabbit hunting is done. Back.
We're talking about a subject. We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we talk with Uncle Bobby, a.k.a. Cephas Johnson. That is the uncle of Oscar Grant, and about their new movie, Fruitvale. We also talk with Deco Baker from the League of Young Voters. All that and more coming up.
This be the one them called Tech 9, and this is Hard Knock Radio. You know what I'm saying? News, views, and